This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. I am one of six children, and so we are very close in age, and when I was growing up then, we had to have a big station wagon so that when we went somewhere as a family, we could all pile in. And invariably, somebody would call shotgun, right? And as soon as they call shotgun, then that's it. They get to sit in the front seat. When I had my own children, they did the same thing, except that sometimes they would call shotgun at the same time, and then there would be an argument, so I just started alternating days, and it worked. Then, now, I see my grandsons doing the same thing. We want to be up front. James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, were really kind of calling a double shotgun. They wanted to be on the right and the left of Jesus, as close as they could be in his glory. In his glory. Usually, we preach about the pride and how not to be prideful. And certainly that is a part of what we'll explore this day. What really interests me, though, is what's underneath this pride. What's underneath it, I am convinced, is that they were scared. They were scared to death, literally. Now, in order to understand their perspective and their motivation, we have to understand what happened right before this. And as many of you know, we don't pick the lectionary, what we're going to read. It's a 3-year cycle, and we are in union with churches all over the world, reading the same scripture each Sunday. Last Sunday, we were in the 10th chapter of Mark, and it ended at the 31st verse. This week, we're still in the 10th chapter of Mark, but we start at the 35th verse. So there are these three little verses that were left out that are crucial to the story. I don't know why they left them out, but I'm going to put it back in because it's really important to get this idea of where James and John were coming from when they made such a comment. Listen to these verses. Now remember, like last week, they're on the road to Jerusalem. Transfiguration has already happened. They're on the way. Everything had been heating up. People are testing Jesus left and right. He'd already told them 2 times what was going to happen. Listen to this. They were on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." He's just told them that. This is the 3rd time now. And they're saying, "Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. Can you hear it? Could you hear the fear in their voice?" They wanted to be right with him. And yes, it was also prideful. But I think underneath all of that was that they wanted the security of their Lord's presence. So now the other 10 disciples who over here heard all this get a little bit jealous because they too want to be riding shotgun, right? They come and they start complaining. And Jesus says, he gathers them together, and he says, "You're used to a kingdom where this Lord just is a tyrant and lords it over you. But that's not my kingdom. My kingdom is one where we serve one another. We don't worry about who's first and who's last. That is the whole purpose for my coming," he said, not to be served, but to serve. And to be a ransom for many. Now, the word ransom in the Greek is lutron, and in the Common English Bible, the translation is not ransom. It can also be translated as liberate. Jesus loved us so much, and God loved us so much that sent Jesus to earth to be in solidarity with us, to liberate the people. So listen to how it sounds in that translation. I didn't come to be served, Jesus says, but to serve and to give my life to liberate many people. In those days, the word ransom was the term that was used when somebody would pay the money to free a slave from the bondage they were in. That was the term. So it's a liberation that we're talking about here. Liberation in how we serve one another, because Jesus is saying that's what he came to do. But when he's gone, he tells us time and time and time again, it's about us now being in the suffering and in the joy with one another, just like James and John and the other disciples would be in the suffering that was to come for Jesus. In our suffering and pain, we walk with Christ and with one another. So all of you got 3x5 cards, right? Everybody has a 3x5 card and a pencil? Yes? If you could pass, Glennon, would you mind getting some for the acolytes? Thank you. So now your task, and you can print. Somebody asked me last night if they were allowed to print. In your non-dominant hand, that's why you can print, with your non-dominant hand, write, I know how you feel. Non-dominant hand, I know how you feel, on the 3x5 card. Did you get one? It's not very easy, is it? Takes a while, huh? You ready? No? Everybody knows what it says. It doesn't have to be legible. So now, if this applies to you, raise the card in the air. If you've ever been to a funeral of someone you love, raise the card in the air. Now, make eye contact with another person and give them your card and take the card from them and say, I know how you feel. Exchange cards with eye contact.
I know how you feel. I know how you feel.
Go ahead. You've never been to a funeral? Oh, you already did. Okay. Now this one. If you've ever been affected by addiction, your own or someone else's that affected your life, raise the card high. And now, find someone to exchange it with that also has this card and say, I know how you feel.
I know how you feel.
Here she is, Elaine, behind you. Okay, now, if you've ever had a stack of bills and looked at them and thought you have absolutely no idea how you were going to pay them, raise the card. Now exchange that one with someone and say, I know how you feel.
I know how you feel. I know how you feel.
I think everybody got that one. All right, now, just two more. If you have ever been betrayed by another human being, raise the card. And now exchange it with someone and say, I know how you feel.
I know how you feel. I know how you feel.
And lastly, if you have been directly affected by cancer of your own or someone else's, raise the card. And now exchange it with someone and say, I know how you feel, with eye contact.
I know how you feel. I know how you feel.
This was an exercise done by Rob Bell, and the phenomenon that he describes in the disc that I listened to just happened. What were we doing? We were kind of laughing. Isn't that odd? And smiling. And yet, it isn't odd at all. In these deep, dark, hard things of our lives, we're smiling when we know other people are in solidarity with us. Somehow, it emerged, right? It was a very natural thing that happened. It's kind of like good humor and good comedy when it strikes a nerve and it's universal, people laugh. We're not alone in this world. And does anybody have any idea why I asked you to write with your non-dominant hand? Because it's hard to understand how someone else feels completely. We're not going to get it completely because we're not that person, but we get a little bit of it. And we can make the effort to be with someone. It's like this past week, we saw people sitting through the night when one woman is watching her husband pass away. People sitting in solidarity with her. Others giving respite to a spouse who has Alzheimer's. Others volunteering in a public school classroom to be in solidarity with that teacher who was working so hard. Another sitting with someone who didn't feel well. Words weren't important. What was important was the solidarity, and that is exactly why Jesus Christ was here for us, to liberate us into knowing that we are the body of Christ, and that's what we are to be doing with one another now in the kingdom of God. There was a 4-year-old boy who lived next door to an elderly couple, and he got to know them a little bit. The elderly gentleman, the woman dies, and the elderly gentleman, about a week after her death, was sitting on his front porch. The little boy and his mom, now this little boy is 4 years old, they come home, get out of the car, they look over and they see the man sitting on this front porch with his head in his hand. The little boy breaks away from the mom, runs over to the porch, climbs up in the old man's lap, and the mom hung back and just watched. The little boy sat there for the longest time. And then he got down from the lap, came back to the mom in the front yard. She said, "What did you say to him?" He said, "I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry. I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry." Our mission, my sisters and brothers, is to be there for one another, to stay close, and to know when you need it, that it's okay to ask, and to then know, too, if it's the middle of the night, that Jesus Christ is there with you. And that whole shotgun thing, you don't have to call it. You've already got it. Amen.